Good morning. Gloria finally realized she was supposed to be up here with me. So. We are delighted to be back at East White Oak Bible Church. We have had a long association with this church dating back to about 1977, but we're here today to report to you and to other friends and supporters of ours that we are graduating from Tentmakers Bible Mission as a local church out in Preston, Idaho. We made a decision back in our very first year that we would seek to reach that point in our 10th year, and we started our 10th year back in April, and so we are excited to be able to be here on this trip. We're headed back to other places in Illinois and Michigan to report on this next step for our church. It's a huge step of faith, but in order to really give you a sense of it, we wanted to do several things this morning. We wanted to take a look back and a look ahead, and then we wanted to share a song with you this morning, and then a brief message from God's Word from 1 Peter chapter 5. So let me share some pictures with you. Looking back and ahead takes us all the way back to when Gloria and I were much younger. We were married in 1972, and God sent us to our first church in Tuscola, Michigan, near Saginaw, in 1974. We had one son then. He's now 40, but we're thankful for that ministry there at Tuscola Community Church. Then God led us to Sutter-Salem Bible Church in Warsaw, Illinois. We were there from 1977 to 1984, and we loved living in Illinois. Our kids grew up there, and it was a great place to serve the Lord. But while we were there, God laid on our hearts through some missionary friends of ours, church planters, Ron and Wanda Thompson, to go out to Utah, where there was a great need for Bible-believing churches. And after much prayer, we set out as missionaries, and East White Oak was the very first church, actually, to commit to supporting us. So this church has been supporting us as missionaries for 29 years. That's a long time. Are we really that old?
Yes, we are.
So we took a step of faith, and we headed out to Nephi, Utah, and took over a little existing mission church there called Nephi Bible Church. And we had a great time there for about 3.5 years. We started with about 20 people, grew to about 70, and we met in a little church building here that we really enjoyed. We had Awana, we had all kinds of things going, but most of the people in the church, almost all of them, worked at a power plant in Delta, Utah, doing construction. And when that job ended, they had to go find work. So we went from about 70 people down to 8 people in the last 6 or 7 months that we were there.
But the amazing thing was Nephi was 99% Mormon. And during that three-year period, we had over 250 people working at that power plant that came through there. So it was an amazing thing in a little town.
And we saw more people come to know Christ as Savior in those 3.5 years than we had in our previous 11 years of ministry, and we thank God for that. Our family grew at the same time from 1 to 4 children, and but we also saw some people come into the family of God by faith.
Right after we got to Nephi, Bill started getting calls from Mark Olson. He had just gotten back from his Mormon mission up into Canada. And up there, he would get into the homes of believers who would ask him questions that he couldn't answer. And they just ate away at him. And so when he got back to BYU, he asked his professors to answer those questions. But they told him he shouldn't even be thinking about things like that. And so it just fueled in him a desire to know the answers even more. And he began calling Bill shortly after we moved to Nephi and asking him if Bill could answer those questions. And he started coming to church, and his wife and kids came with him. But she would call and say, I don't understand why you guys are so negative. And I'd say, what makes you say that? And she'd say, because you keep saying that people are sinners. And that's so negative. And I thought, oh, Sandy, I didn't say that. That's what God says about people, that we are all sinners. And I took her to a ladies' retreat with me, and she spent the whole weekend talking to a woman that had come out of Mormonism. And at the end of that time, after we got back home, that Sunday was Easter Sunday. And after church that Sunday, we noticed that both of them were crying all through the message. And they came up and said, we don't know for sure, but we're going to go home and we're just going to think about saying that prayer and accepting Christ. And about 4 o'clock that afternoon, we got a call from them saying that they had done that. And that they were our first fruit there in Nephi.
Yeah, your first fruit through our ministry.
Your first fruit. And this family, they lived just around the corner from us, and I would walk by their house and look at them and think, oh, that family would never be interested in accepting Christ, because they were always sitting out on the front porch with a bunch of friends drinking and cavorting. And I just thought, never, never would they be interested. But he rode to work at the power plant with one of the men from our church. And one Sunday he was having a tirade about Christians and how he hated them and they were such hypocrites and on and on. And finally the guy that came to our church was just a quiet, quiet man. He said, well, what do you think of me? And he said, oh, you're a good guy. I like you. You're a great guy. And he said, well, I'm a Christian. And he kept saying, no, you're not. And he said, yeah, I am. And he invited him to church. And the very first Sunday, that guy accepted Christ. And it was such a, to me, because it made me realize you can't judge people by what's on the outside. You never know where their heart is and how they may be searching. And they went on, Bill, they had been living together. Bill married them in our living room, and then they finished their job and went on. We're hoping that they still went on for the Lord after they left Nephi.
Because we grew and then everybody moved away, we went from 70 people down to 8 people, our family of 6 and one other married couple. So our mission closed the church, and we moved up to Pleasant Grove and began Fellowship Bible Church. We started out in a rented facility in the Lions Club building, and that was the inside of the building back then.
I'm noticing today that you always had the same coat on. I think you must have only had one suit.
I think I did only have one coat, yeah. Just like now. But God enabled us after 6 years in the Lions Club building, setting up and taking down every Sunday. A lot of churches that plant churches go through that. But after 6 years, we were able to buy property and build our own building. And that church has gone on for the Lord now. And they have a brand new building and they're running about 200 people. And it's an exciting thing to see that church moving forward. We had friends who came out from Michigan and Illinois. Friends from Dallas City came out and helped us put the structure up. And a good friend of mine who is a cabinet maker from Kalamazoo, Michigan, built kitchen cabinets and came out and installed them. And we just had such a blessing. This was our first service in the new building.
And don't forget the part that Larry played.
Right. Well, Larry was out there too with that group from Dallas City. He wasn't feeling well that week, as I recall. But he did do some work. But there again, we saw people come to know Christ as Savior, because people back here, like you folks at East White Oak, were praying. People came to know Christ. Jim DeGroot, the dad in this picture, was laid off at the time and was working on the building with us. And he and I were roofing for a couple of days, and I would share the gospel with him up on the roof of the building. And one day he said to me, we got to get down off the building. I need to pray. And trusted Christ as Savior, and his wife was already a believer, but we're so thankful for those people who came to know Christ. Mario Guerrero became the first deacon in our church. He moved from California to take a position at the Provo, Utah Fire Department. And his family moved about a month later, and they bought a home, and he worked on the building too. But he, Easter Sunday of 1994, he trusted Christ as his Savior. And as I said, became our first deacon in the church and was involved in so many different ways. And after we left, actually about 7 years ago, he was flying in a a Life Flight helicopter as a paramedic, and they went down in a fog in Nevada. 38 years old, lost his life, but he's in heaven now, and I praise God for that. After we saw the church develop to the point where we could turn it over to a full-time pastor, Gloria and I felt called to serve at Frontier School of the Bible in LaGrange, Wyoming. So we went on staff there for 5 years. I was a dean of students. Gloria and I both taught classes. We had a wonderful time there. This is the chapel at the school. Gloria and I spoke there in chapel last week and had a wonderful time with the current students. But over the years, we had a lot of contact with students that were in our classes. And this young couple were in our classes. We did marriage counseling with them. They went out to Oregon and got married and went on in ministry to a couple different places, but they are now serving in a little sister church of ours over in Montpelier, Idaho, just 40 miles over the mountain. And so we praise God for Brian and Jessica Russell. They had just one little boy then, Titus. Now they have 5 children. But God is using them to establish a good Bible-teaching church in Montpelier, Idaho. While we were on staff at the school, God gave us the opportunity for about a year and a half to fill in at a little United Church of Christ up in Crawford, Nebraska. And while we were there, they made the decision as a congregation to leave that denomination and become just a Bible-teaching church. And what a blessing that was to serve there for a while. But after 5 years at the school, I really felt I needed to get back to what my calling is, and that's to be a pastor. So we resigned from the school and came back to Logan, Utah, just 26 miles south of Preston, where we are now. And we rented a little building and met on Sunday nights, had a small group coming out. But we began to hear about the town of Preston. One of the people who kept informing us about that town was an old cowboy named Casey Jones. He was in his 70s. He had been out in Utah since the 1950s as a young man. But he moved up to Preston and would hunt up there over the years. And he began to pray early on for a church in Preston, Idaho. There had never been a gospel-preaching church in Preston, Idaho. So he prayed for 40 years for a church in Preston. And our church is the answer to that prayer through God's grace and power. So after our year lease in Logan ran out, we moved up to Preston and rented the Senior Citizens Center. We had a nice little group. Some of these folks are still coming to our church now. But we could only use it on Sunday mornings. And so we decided to pray for a place that we could have all week long. And God gave us the opportunity to rent these two buildings side by side right on Main Street, right in the center of town. Our church's tagline is a place of grace in the center of town. And our goal is to help people learn, grow, and serve. This is our auditorium. By the way, that auditorium was painted a few years back by folks from this church, the interior. They've done a lot of other work, too. We're so grateful for that. We have a little coffee bar in the back. It's kind of a good indicator of when Mormons show up, because if they're devout Mormons and they happen to show up, they don't drink coffee. It's against their religion. But if they're not devout, they head right for the coffee bin. Gloria?
The second ladies' retreat that we had, Kathy Palazzolo on the right, she and her husband work with the Christian Motorcycles Association. And she met this lady in the middle, Tori, and invited her to come to the retreat. But Tori was really scary. She didn't look like that at all. And we wish we had a picture of her, but I think we would have been too afraid to take it of her. Street fighter is what her shirt says, and that's what she looked like, a street fighter. And after the very first session at that retreat, though, she opened her heart to the Lord and is truly, in that picture, a new creation. You can see the joy on her face, and it was an instant thing, going from death to life. And Tori began coming to our church with her family, and 9 months later she was at a flea market and had a brain aneurysm and died. But we had her funeral at church, and it was such a joyous funeral because we knew where she was.
Like all other Bible-teaching churches, we do a lot of those same things. We have baptisms. We've been able to baptize quite a number of people over 10 years. We worship together, just like you do. We pray together. We preach the Word of God and teach it. We have children's ministries and teach our boys and girls with Vacation Bible School. Your group's been involved with that in the past as well, ministry to boys and girls. We do weddings. Anna, the bride in this picture, was an intern, a graduate from Frontier School of the Bible, and worked with us for a year and met Aaron, whose dad is an elder in the church, and they fell in love, and we were able to join them in marriage, and they are a real blessing in the church. Demi Johnson, her family used to all be Mormon, but now they're believers. You wanted to say something about her?
Just about Aaron. But Aaron, yeah. Aaron was the only Christian in the school that he went to for the whole time he was in high school. And so we felt like we needed to invite girls to come just to see if he might find a wife.
And he did.
And he did, the very first one.
The Johnson family, were, as I said, were all former Mormons, but they've come to know Christ. And Demi is now a student at Frontier School of the Bible in her junior year, and she has a real passion to work with Muslim women. So we're praying that that's where God continues to lead her. Like other churches, we want believers to grow spiritually and learn, and so we have a large and growing library. But about 4 years ago, we began a ministry called El Shaddai Sanctuary and Refuge. And we have a little video that we want to show you that Laura Metter put together, and we're so grateful for it. It really captures what we're doing out there with El Shaddai.
After 60-plus years of asking myself the same question over and over again, well, rather asking God, what am I supposed to be doing? God took my life as I had known it, put me in a parenthesis, and taught me all kinds of things that I needed to understand. I kind of knew all these things, but to think about them all together, he showed me what I was passionate about. He showed me how he had gifted me. He showed me the desires of my heart, and he put them all together and laid a ministry on my heart that I never would have thought of 20 years earlier. I never would have thought that I could do 20 years earlier. And he used Isaiah 61 to sum it all up. And this is what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. Broken people he wants to take and turn them into oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's what I'm desiring to do with El Shaddai Sanctuary and Refuge, is take in broken people who don't believe that they have a purpose in life, who don't see at all the unique way that God put them together, and to give them the tools to go from being broken to understanding who God is and what he's done for them and how he wants to use them to glorify him. To give them those tools and then send them out to minister to other people. God's given us 3.5 acres of beautiful property, but we're praying for several other pieces of property that are all around where we are. And I was tardy getting up here because I was trying to find out, what is your name that sang that song at the end? I was trying to find out your name because I was thinking about the words to your song, I Need You Now. And there are so many women who are broken and they really do need him now. But in order for us to take them in, we need houses and house mothers that can be there with them all the time. And so that's what we're right now I'm praying for one house and one house mother and one woman that God will send. And I have some pictures of the properties that we're praying for. I don't know which one will be the first one that God will give us. But if any of you want to pray for one of those properties, I'll give you a little picture that you can pray for until we get it. And I would really appreciate your prayers. And we have little houses out there that if you would like to, I just always thought it would be neat as a family to decide at the beginning of the month what financial denomination, whatever you call it, a nickel, dime, quarter, $100 bill, you would like to say, God, whatever of those comes across our hand this month, we'll put in that little bank and we'll send it to El Shaddai and then just see what God does. He could do some amazing things. And if he does, I'll publish them in our newsletter and send them out to you if you take one of those houses. So those are just some ways that you can help by praying and by giving. And if you just got a huge inheritance and you don't know what you're supposed to do with it and you want to give it for one of those houses, that would be great too.
This couple live down in Logan, Utah, just south of Logan, and they have a real burden to come up and work with us at El Shaddai. They may be our first full-time staff people. They have their house up for sale right now, and they're seeking God's leading in that regard. This family, we met some folks in the first service who know them, Jeff and Brenda Timms. They're from Peoria, and they are serving with Rural Home Missionary Association, and they are raising support to come out and work with us for the next couple of years with the goal of not only helping our ministry, but planting another church, another sister church for our area in southeastern Idaho. So you can be praying for their family. They have 13 children. This is nine of them, I think. But keep them in your prayers as well. Our family has grown since those early days when Billy was just a little baby in our arms. My son Bill and his wife Laura have five girls. Gloria loves to give you their names.
I do. Grace, Faith, Joy, Cherish, and Delight.
And Bill serves on staff at Frontier School of the Bible. Our daughter June and her husband Derek have five children. They currently live in Frisco, Colorado. He's a pastor of family ministries at a church there, but they are, by the end of this month, going to be moving to Mesquite, Nevada. Derek planted a church out in Springville, Utah, years ago and was there for 15 years, and it became a self-supporting church as well. We praise God for that. Our son Miles and his wife Sarah have two teenage boys. They live in Marquette, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula. We'll get to see them on this trip. We haven't seen them in a long time. And our youngest daughter, Evie, and her husband, Travis, are a youth pastor and wife in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. They have three children, and she's due any day now with boy-girl twins. And so they will have five, and three of them under the age of two.
One and under.
So that's our family. We do want to say thank you to this church for years of faithful support. You've been so good to us. Many of you have been out to El Shaddai and worked on our property and all kinds of projects. We're taking this big step of faith as a church and as a couple, but God's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry. And we want to sing a song for you that specifically says that. I'm not going to worry.
I'm not gonna worry,
I'm not gonna fret,
I'm not gonna speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm not gonna worry,
he's got the whole thing in his hands. I won't let it haunt me, I won't let it win. I'm not gonna ruminate or meditate on how things might have been. I'm gonna release it. He's got the whole thing in his hands. Maybe lately I've
I've started to resign. So here it goes, God only knows, it might just ease my mind.
I'm not gonna worry, I'm not gonna fret. I'm just gonna wait and see, and in between give thanks for what I get. I'll live in the moment. He's got the whole thing in his hand.
Now maybe lately I've started to resign. So here it goes, God only knows, it might just ease my mind. I'm not gonna worry, I'm not gonna fret. I'm not gonna speculate or contemplate what hasn't happened yet. I'm gonna worry, he's got the whole thing in his hand. He's got the whole thing in his hand. He's got the whole thing in his hand.
Speaking of not worrying, I would invite you just for the next 10 minutes to take out your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 especially. When we left on this trip, September 30th, the government had not yet shut down, and Obamacare as a national health care program had not yet been initiated. But now that's changed, as you know, if you've been following the news. But this morning, I'm not here to talk about Obamacare. I'm here to talk about our God cares. Isn't that better? Look at verse 7. Casting all your care, your anxiety upon Him, because He cares for you. I want to talk to you just for a few moments about that matter of His care of us, because it's important to us in our ministry, and it is to you as well, I'm sure. I want to look at it from God's side and from our side, the two sides of the loving care of God. First of all, from God's side, we go back to the theme we've been singing and talking about today, the theme of joy, and I want you to know it is a joy for God to give us His care, to express His concern for us, and to keep giving it over and over again. That's part of God's provision for us. If we've known Christ for a while, like Gloria and I have, and like this church has for many years, we can look back at some clear proofs of God's care. We go back to the people of Israel as a nation and how God cared for them over centuries of time. We can look at Fellowship Bible Church in Pleasant Grove, and we can look at Grace Fellowship Church the last 10 years, and we see how God has cared for us. And this church can look back at a long history and see how God has cared for this church. Clear proofs of God's care and concern. That's in the past. But just like our slide presentation, looking back and ahead, we stop for a moment in the here and now and realize that God is giving us continual power as evidence of His care and concern. Why do we need it? Well, look at verse 8. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so Peter says in verse 9, resist him. I want you to know something, and I'm sure you already know this. Satan does not want an effective church in the Bloomington-Normal area. Satan does not want a growing, independent, self-supporting church in Preston, Idaho. He's doing everything he can all over the country to stop Christian ministries. He hates it. And so we have God's continual power as part of His care and concern for us to stand against Satan. And part of that includes, and this is the most important part in my view, prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, as you read through that, the middle of that chapter regarding our stand against the devil, it tells us in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And then Paul adds in verse 19, pray on my behalf. And we would say the same thing, pray on our behalf, that we may be given utterance or boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's our prayer. Gloria and I, after our congregation voted back in March to become an independent, self-supporting church at the end of this calendar year, we began thinking about this trip that we were going to take. It's 5 weeks. You can pray for us on this journey. But we also began asking God to give us prayer supporters. Because while our support as missionaries will come to an end, in many cases, in many churches or with individuals, we desperately need the prayer support to go on. And so we ask too, like Paul did then, that you would pray for us. So that's in the here and now, continual power from God as evidence of His care and concern. And then in the future, countless promises that we can hold on to that'll take us to the very end of time. Promises like Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, where God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that a great promise? I'll never leave you. Never forsake you. And so he says, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 6 of Hebrews 13, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is, he can't do anything. God's in control. And that's why we don't have to worry. I'm so glad for that. We can cast all our care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. So God's part is clear proofs, continual power, and countless promises. What's our part? Well, just as it was God's joy to keep giving us care and concern, giving and giving and giving, our job is to get it and go with it, to use it, to tap into that power and to claim as a fact that God wants to care for us, that He's concerned about us. And we can claim it as a fact. Look again at the wording of verse 7. Casting all your anxiety, your care upon Him because He cares. He does care for you. Not maybe. Not if you behave yourself. He cares for you. And then look at verse 10. Peter writes, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He will. Again, not maybe. He will. We can claim it as a fact. This morning in my personal devotions, I was reading in 1 Samuel 17, that well-known story of David and Goliath. And when David stood before that 9-foot-tall, powerful soldier who mocked him for his faith, he said to that soldier, Goliath, God will deliver me. He had absolute confidence in God's care and concern for him and for the people of Israel. God will deliver me. And we can have that same kind of confidence. We can claim it as a fact. Secondly, our part is to carry on by faith. Look at verse 9. After talking about the devil and how he wants to defeat us and devour us, he says, but resist him firm in your faith. Firm in your faith. How do we firm up our faith? Well, much like we firm up our muscles with exercise. We firm up our faith by exercising the Word of God in our lives. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The more time we spend in God's Word, and we keep challenging our people about this, the more time we spend in His Word, the stronger we're going to be in our faith. If we take God's Word seriously. So that's part of what we're to do. We are to carry on by faith. And then finally, we are to celebrate as a family. That's our part. To celebrate as a family. Lots of occasions for celebration in the family of God. Just like today, you celebrating with us, and we're so grateful that you can, celebrating with us this step of faith for our local church. Celebrating as a family. We're going to be doing that, praise God, for all of eternity. Listen to what it says in Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. John describes in a vision the 24 elders around the throne of God saying to God, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and was, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign." And then verse 18, he adds, "The time came for the dead to be judged and to reward thy servants." That's a lot to celebrate, isn't it? God has promised reward for faithful service to Him. And it doesn't matter whether it's been 40 years in our case, or 1 year, or 1 month. If you've been faithful at it, serving the Lord, God has a reward awaiting you. And we can celebrate for all of eternity as a family. Celebrate those people who came to know Christ as Savior out in Nephi, Utah, and Pleasant Grove, Utah, and Preston, Idaho. And here in Bloomington Normal. Going back one last time to that account in 1 Samuel 17 about David and Goliath. After David killed the giant, the Philistines all fled in terror. And the people of Israel, 1 Samuel 17:52, it says, shouted with a great shout of triumph. David won the victory. God did through him, but the people together shouted a great shout of triumph. They were excited. David was the one throwing the stone and killing the giant, but they all celebrated together. And we have the privilege for all of eternity of celebrating together all of those victories that God has brought. He brought them about many times through individuals, yes, but we get to celebrate as a family, and I'm so thankful for that. And Gloria and I, again, want to say a huge thank you to this church for years of faithful support and prayer ministry. You are a part of the victory of seeing those people like the Olsons and the Harrises and Tory and others come to know Jesus as Savior. So thank you. And we'll get to, for all of eternity, share with Tory and Mario and others that they came to know Christ as Savior in a place as remote to the gospel as you could possibly get out in Mormon land. But that's where God brought them, to come to know Him by faith. So thank you. I want to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Lord, thank you so much for being so good to us. We don't have to worry. We can turn everything over to you, cast all our care upon you. We can sing, as was sung earlier in special music, "All I need is you." Why? Because you care. Thank you that you love us that much. Thank you for the victories we can share today and for all of eternity. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.